Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Hey, it's Botcast time. It's springtime. And the Botcast coming to you today from the M40. We know that. thank you for that. We know that all three listeners to the Botcast, all of you listen to this when you're in the car. So we thought we'd, let's see if we can actually record one in the car. It's a little different dynamic. How's the right hand holding up, Cameron, so far?
It's fine now. We'll see what it's like.
Okay, so Cameron's got a slightly endurance test. It's a little bit, what was that? It was called Endurance, wasn't it? The little Japanese TV program where people had to do very strange things. It was from Japan, and people used to have to endure ridiculous things. Like, they'd put you in a glass box and you'd have to drink a gallon of water, and then like the last person to pee would like be the winner and stuff. And the Japanese committed fully to this.
Wow.
And all sorts of other things as well, and they suffered excruciating pain and mental torture to succeed on the game show. And today, Cameron, I just feel that there may be some extreme pain and torture for you holding the recording device in the middle of us.
Well, I'll let you know. I'll keep you updated.
Whilst the Tesla hurtles down the M40 at 71 miles an hour. It's the kind of renegade driver that I am. Just nudging over the speed. Anyway, we've got an agenda for today's podcast, Cam.
Do.
Three topics. What we got?
Price.
Ooh, price. Okay.
Speed,
yes, 71 miles an hour.
And targets.
Price, speed, and targets. Okay. Where should we go? Let's talk pricing first. Because we are recording this the week after the Marketing to Money, Not Many, masterclass that I ran at Villa Park. It's a two-day event that I hadn't run before. And in truth, it was about 9 months in the preparation for that event. It was triggered last summer. And I have to say, I enjoyed delivering the event, and I put a lot into pulling the content together. But I have to say, I've been somewhat bowled over, really, by the response to it, because we went very, very deep into a specific topic, and the topic was about how you, or what's required, what's necessary, what has to happen in a business to move the customer base up the pyramid. So you're dealing with people that for whom price is either unimportant completely or else not very important, for whom other things matter more than price. Because when you've got a customer base for whom other things matter more than price, it is much more straightforward to build a business that has high levels of profitability. You're able to do more stuff for customers, you can build a better reputation, you can spend more to market. The world is better. And I know what's happened because of all the feedback I've had now in the 5 or 6 days since that event, the number of people that have really responded and have started to make significant new initiatives or new ways of thinking or new approaches and get them implemented in their business. And I guess a lot of it starts with price, doesn't it? It's not all about price. I'm not going to try and condense what was a very in-depth two-day session into kind of a 10-minute summary on this podcast. If you've got an unlimited pass, then you have access to the recordings. The event was live streamed, as all our events are at 3C now, and all unlimited pass holders can get access to them live as they happen, or once the event has happened, they're all nicely parceled up and the recordings are available. So the Marketing to Money Masterclass, I think you'll know, if you watch the first session, it's about a 70-minute session, and I think you'll know by the end of that session as to whether it's something you want to invest another 5 or 6 hours of recordings in. But from the feedback that we've had so far, I know how much it hit the spot for so many people. And one of the things that have been implemented are price changes. And I've got a few stories I need to relate, but we should also just reflect on what we have done in our business over the last 12 months now. It's almost 12 months since we launched our agency, since we launched Ludify.
Yes.
Which, of course, was our, still is, our highest priced product.
Yeah.
And you know, on the scale, all right, 1 to 10, that's good, but how easy, Cameron, has it been to market the most expensive thing we've ever sold?
Well, very easy. Easier than it is to market pretty much anything else, actually.
Okay, which is interesting for us, because we didn't know. When we launched it, it was a genuine kind of experiment. It was a test that we were doing. But we've hit the spot in terms of what Ludify provides as an agency, what it gives for people. We are solving a very real problem in a very complete way. And do you remember the conversation that we had? And interesting, it was in the car, wasn't it? We had Danielle in the car with us, and we had a conversation around how we set the price for Ludify.
Yeah, and I guess all three of us had a different price point in mind.
But we were all nervous, weren't we?
We went through kind of waves of, you know, oh, we should set it at this price. No, we can be bolder than that. We're doing so much. Double it. And then we're like, but then no one will buy it. No,
scary.
My goodness. And so it kind of fluctuated up and down throughout that entire car ride.
What we did do, the first 10 customers of Ludify came on board at the price they paid was £1,500 a month. And that felt like the right price for us. But we put it out there, and we just found we got so many inquiries, so much demand. Those first 10 slots went in a matter of just a couple of days, didn't they? Mm-hmm. And so when we released the next 10 slots, we were feeling a bit more confident, and we put the price up to £2,000 a month. And it has stayed at £2,000 a month for the last 12 months. And everyone that's come into the Ludify during that time has paid that price. But we're about to put the price up again. And for us, the price point, and a number of factors to take into account here. Obviously, when you're pricing, it has to be at a price that your customers are prepared to pay. But the interesting thing here is that because so many of us are not our customers, our perception of what they are prepared to pay is often inaccurate. And certainly what the customers that we would ideally want are prepared to pay is often different to what the customers that we have now will be prepared to pay. And I have so many conversations this year, since January, with people in a circle, in Mastermind, around pricing. And the biggest problem for everybody to overcome, and it was for us on that car journey last May, is our own kind of head trash, what's going on in our own heads. And it's the fear that if we price it too high, no one will buy. Because on the opposite side, which is what happens much more often, is that we price it too low so that we inhibit ourselves in terms of, firstly, the amount of money we can spend to market it, because there's less money coming in. Secondly, the amount of money we can spend to create amazing levels of service so that people are really impressed and fulfilled with the service or the product we give them, and they talk even more enthusiastically about it and refer others. And then thirdly, we inhibit ourselves because of the money that's left over for us, because there wasn't enough coming in the first place, and by the time we've done the marketing and delivered the product, there's not enough left over for us, and so we have to keep our nose to the grindstone and keep kind of chunking through. And all these things can be fundamentally changed with a shift in price. And I think I've spoken before, I think it was on one of the Business Growth Central episodes earlier this year, about one particular member of Inner Circle who has a very large customer base, over 2,000 customers, and they pay him a relatively small sum of money. He's got some customers only paying him £5 a month. He's got others that are paying him kind of £35 a month, but he has got a couple of thousand of them, so that the numbers are non-trivial. And he came into Inner Circle this year, and in the first session he was outlining his goals, which were about generating another kind of six-figure income this year, because now he's got his cost base established, that six-figure income increase, if it comes in, will go straight through to the bottom line. And we flipped and flopped around in the group for about 10 minutes until I kind of called it to order. And so it's really obvious what you have to do, because 2,000 customers paying you monthly, if you just add a very small amount of money, you add £5 a month to what your customers are paying you, times 2,000 people, that would be £10,000 a month. That is, you know, that's £24,000 a year, £120,000 a year of additional revenue. And when we then started to explore it, what we discovered was that he hadn't actually put his prices up for over 10 years. And so really the kind of mechanism and the communication became really, really very straightforward. And I'm pleased to say it took a bit longer than it perhaps could have done, but a couple of months on, he's actually executed that and implemented it and has banked most of that six-figure pay rise without the need for any new customers, just by better pricing his product. And the EC now has, if not quite a plethora, but certainly an increasingly large group of members who have bitten the bullet this year and increased their prices. And one of the best ways to do it, and one of the safest ways, and one of the easiest kind of mentally for you to get your head around it, will be to, not in the first instance, don't go announcing a price rise to all your customers, but instead put the price up for new people coming in, because that will give you the confidence and the reassurance that the price you're charging is fair. And when you've got a flow of new customers coming in at the new price, it's much easier then to have the conversations with your existing customers about what their price should be. Now, there's some, a couple of little strategies that make this work much better as well, because you don't communicate with your customers that it is a price rise. There are better ways to communicate this. When I remember Keith Edmonds in Mastermind implemented a price rise for his customers. He's an IT support business. And what he did was he wrote a letter, and what he basically said was, I'm just writing to confirm that your support service will continue for a further 12 months with effect from the 1st of May. And there's no action required for you to renew this. Everything will carry on as it is now. The price for the next 12 months will be this much. And that price was higher than the price it had been previously. Now, he didn't tell them it was a price rise per se. He was very open about it. He sent that letter out. This is another little very smart thing to do. He sent the letter out 3 months before the new period kicked in. So it's when you announce a price rise in advance, people will log it, they'll recognise it, but they won't do anything about it. It's the Gordon Brown approach. He was the first chancellor to announce tax rises kind of a year ahead of time. And people then got, it was a bit of a problem, but then they forgot about it. Everything counted as normal. And it's a nice way to adopt when you're implementing price uplifts. But don't announce it as a price rise. If you've got people that are paying you monthly, then actually just letting people know that that this will be their price for the next 12 months is a smart way to do it. But price holds the key for many people listening to this recording right now to a significant pay rise for you this year, to a significant uplift in your profitability. And the actual work involved to get there is, comparatively speaking, trivial compared to having to create marketing campaigns or new products or services or whatever else.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, upping the prices, it's the fastest way to the cash.
Okay, which we like that. That's a line that you are, you often bring to our management meetings, Cameron, around, you're very focused on driving our top line. And in that regard, then, let's go on to speed. That's the link, the fastest way to the cash. And speed is very, very interesting. And two examples of fast implementation. I think the line I've used, I've talked about this at events in the past, is that what I discovered a long time ago is that if you can shorten the time from the idea occurring in your head to actually making it happen and implementing it, then your business exponentially develops and grows. What mere mortals do, what normal people do, what mediocre business owners do, is have an idea and they allow it to gestate, and they allow it to, they mull it over, they think about it. They will typically start by thinking of all the reasons why they can't do it, which is it's an interesting little aside. I did a talk last weekend, Cameron, at a conference for florists. And as you know, we've got some real superstar florists in entrepreneur circle, and none more so than David Costa. And I told the story of what David has done with help from his colleagues in Mastermind. And we mapped out, David came to us with a question around what would the best florist in the world look like? And we mapped out what we would call a customer journey, and there were some quite innovative things in there. And it's had a tremendous impact on David's business. I mean, it has revolutionized it. His business is several times larger now than it was before he had that customer journey. And it's made it a lot easier for him to get corporate business, and he gets a lot of repeat business, and he has hundreds of reviews, and his pricing is a bit more expensive because he's become the provider of choice. And it's very smart stuff. And I can't, now's not the time to run through it and talk about it. But I shared David's story and what he'd done and the results it had generated at this conference last weekend. And then the chairman of the conference then, when I finished, said, oh, have we got a little bit of time? Anyone's got any questions for Nigel? And the first question was from a guy who basically said, well, this is all very well that I understand all this, but I can't do all that if I'm too busy. And it was fascinating how his mind had worked, because it didn't matter to me. I wasn't selling anything. I was out there genuinely trying to help these florists out. And I'd shared with them something that was innovative, it was original, and it had been proven to work in their sector. Yet this guy, and he won't have been the only one in the room, but this guy's instinctive first response was to think of all the reasons why he couldn't do it and all the things that get in his way. And that, I think he's very typical in that regard. He is much more representative of most business owners. But it is such an unhelpful instinctive response. Much more helpful is to, when we get an idea or we hear something, we have to almost consciously force ourselves in the beginning to do it, is to think, that's interesting. What would have to happen for me to implement that in my business? Or, that's interesting. How could I implement that in my business? Because it forces you to come at it from a much more positive perspective. And that's a little aside around there, which might be helpful. I just thought those two little questions are quite useful techniques. But coming back to that then, the people that are really kicking ass are the people that are, and I know in just 5 days on from my Marketing to Money Masterclass, I've already had half a dozen emails from people who have not only saying thanks for the what a great event it was, Nigel, but they've already done something about it. They went home last weekend and have executed. In a couple of cases, they have interestingly put their prices up. It wasn't fundamentally what the event was all about, but it's a very useful starting point to implementation. I know we are launching our Ludify service, our marketing agency service for accountants in May. And one of the things we're doing with all our new accountants that are coming in board, because there's a lot of scope with accountants to put up their prices. And we've got some very interesting, very useful, very effective letters that we've written that will enable a lot of the accountants that come on board, we'll do it for them straight away. We'll send those letters out to the existing clients. Effectively, what will happen is the clients are paying them more money. And one of our goals is to get them to effectively self-fund their investment in Ludify because they've passed the bill to their existing customer base. Their existing customers, by paying more money for the service already getting because it's better priced, will cover their investment in more advanced marketing, which will bring in more clients and will enable them to grow their business. But when you sit and you gestate on this and you procrastinate and you don't implement, less things happen. And there is an absolute direct link within EC, and anyone that's been around EC for long enough will recognize this. The people that implement quickly get more stuff done and they get further faster in their business. I guess to some extent it's a truism, but it absolutely is the case. And therefore your ability to have an idea or hear a suggestion or to receive a particular technique or strategy, and your ability to then, are we going to do this, yes or no? Yes, we are. Right, let's execute it quickly, and getting into the habit and then move on to the next thing, that's the smart way to markedly move a business forward. Am I making sense?
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, I mean, you can feel free to chip in a bit more, Cam, but I'll give you a few. So there was the Inner Circle member that put his prices up. That inspired another member of his group to do a similar thing. She interestingly was an accountant and has just extracted a sizable four-figure monthly uplift in her income from her existing client base. No additional cost to her, goes straight to the bottom line. And then one of the other members in that group who has two businesses, and one of them is he has a very large window cleaning business. And it's not normally what we focus on in Inner Circle, but he listened and he paid attention in the room that day. This wasn't the issue that he brought to the table, but as often happens in Mastermind and Inner Circle, people get more value from other people's sessions than their own. And he was in the room when we were talking about the accountant's piece. He went home that night, sketched out a leaflet, chucked it at his designer. It was designed within 24 hours. It went to, the Inner Circle meeting on a Monday. The leaflet was designed by the Wednesday morning. The print was delivered on the Thursday evening, and the letters went out on the Friday morning. And that was effectively a £1 price rise on every window cleaning customer. Now he has just over 2,500 customers, and their windows are cleaned once a month. So that is a £2,500 price rise every single month. That is £30,000 a year of additional revenue coming into the business, and it's going straight to the bottom line. And it happened A, because the guy concerned was paying attention, but it happened secondly because he took it away and implemented it quickly. And isn't it interesting, Kevin, you can talk about this, I know we see it in our office, in our business, how people turn something that is actually relatively straightforward, and in their head they build it up to being a big thing, and therefore it doesn't get tackled. People procrastinate. They're slow to pick up and get something done.
Yeah. I mean, it boils down to human psychology, this big thing. If you...
Have you got an A-level in that?
I do have an A-level. I'm basically a psychologist.
Really?
Yes.
So give us the benefit, Cameron, of your psychological understanding of what we just said.
Oh, well, it's all about... I mean, the human brain works in a very short-term kind of window. It's very difficult to get your brain to think long-term and see the long-term benefits of something when point against the kind of short-term pain that it might feel. And so from a professional psychology point of view, yes, which I'm able to give with an A-level in psychology, if you've got a big task to do, then a lot of people, they find it hard to actually even start the task because all they can think about is, oh, this is going to be a lot of work, or even, oh, what if this goes wrong, blah, blah, blah. And they focus on the short-term issues, the short-term things that are going to hold them back, and they kind of forget about the long-term benefits, the things that might come afterwards. It's the reason why people can't give up smoking and stuff like this, because they, even though they know full well that it's giving them cancer,
okay,
right? And I don't think there's any smokers out there who question the fact that smoking is not good for you. I think they're all aware of this, but the short-term benefit of having a cigarette, they find so alluring that's what their brain focuses on. And the same thing happens in business if we have to, try and implement something. It's why people put things off.
Yes. I think I find it very... I know my productivity, my ability to tackle challenging tasks is much better at the start of the day, first thing in the morning. I have energy and I can focus and get things done, whereas in the afternoon it seems very difficult to get into things. My point is that, again, this speed bit I think can help to feed this, because we've all had jobs on our lists that we've not looked forward to doing, and it's going to be a big thing, but when we eventually get around to doing it, actually it's half the job we thought it was. It happens a lot quicker. It's often not as difficult. We get things done, more easily. And I think understanding this, and maybe, is Cameron's clinic going to be open for psychological help for EC members at any point in the future, Cam?
Who knows? Watch this space.
It's not. But I think the point we're talking about here is hopefully coming across well. So we've covered price, and we covered speed, and there was a third thing you had on the agenda today, Cameron, and you had a big bullseye in it, didn't it?
It did, because it's all about targets.
Okay, so talk about this then. So talk to me about how you track the targets for your team in our business.
Okay, well, quite a big question, I guess. I mean, as the marketing team here, so we have set kind of goals, which are set on a monthly, quarterly, even an annual basis.
Yeah. So, well, they're set, so we break them down. So you've got, but there's the key number for you is that there's a number each month that you have to hit in terms of new customers and in terms of revenue that we expect the marketing team to bring in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And how do your team know how you're doing?
Well, we have a big old TV strapped to the wall.
Okay.
In a position where all of us on the marketing team can see it.
Yeah.
And I, at the very start of this year, when we set these goals, which, you know, are quite ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've learnt that, you know, if you can't see the scoreboard, well, then you can't tell the winners from the losers. You know, you don't know what the score is. And so I knew that we needed more awareness around how we were doing, because, you know, I recognize myself that it's very hard to aim for a goal when you don't actually know where you are on it. And so I commissioned our tech guy Tommy to actually put together a little program, if you like, that basically connects up our billing system.
Yep.
And it runs a report every hour and basically filters out all the different sales that are coming in, all the products that come in, and it, so we know what they are.
And it shows them.
And it shows them on my screen. So on the screen above, I have our three main goals for the month.
Yeah.
And they all start every month at zero,
yes,
which is very depressing when you come in on the first
work
of the month.
The start of the month.
Right. But as the month goes on, things come in and the numbers update every hour on the hour and they go. And when we hit our target for the month, the numbers turn green from red, which is very satisfying for me and my team. And on this screen that's, you know, sits right on the wall in our office, we have, you know, this month's figures. But then we also have the last 2 months. So effectively we get a rolling 3 month kind of window when we can see how we were doing and where we're at on each one. As well as that kind of overview, Tommy made what I think is my favorite thing that Tommy's made, which is just a little private web screen for me, has just several buttons on it.
You sure talk about your private web screen?
My goodness. And it just has a load of buttons on it, which all make the screen do different things. So one of the things I can do, it looks like a bullseye, I can click that number, that button, and what it will do is it will change the screen so that it just shows, it kind of flips and it goes into countdown mode. And so it shows us the gap between where we are now and where we need to be.
Okay.
And so we can see how much we need to bring in, which is very good, especially towards the end of the month.
Yes.
When I've got the sales team working on it, I want to be able to show them, especially, come on, we're only, you know, $4,000 away or whatever it is.
Then
it really delivers that final little push. As well as that, I have another button, which only works on my, it doesn't broadcast it to the room, but it's a more detailed look at kind of our sales as a whole in the business. Obviously, my target is we've got three key areas of focus for growth, but I also want to make sure we're delivering elsewhere in the business, and so I can see the full kind of spectrum of where we should be and where we need to be, and I can, you know, numbers turn red and green and all that.
So that's interesting. I mean, the key point here, I think, and you made it a moment or two ago, if you can't see the scoreboard, you don't know the score. And that applies to, I mean, you as the kind of the guy responsible for these numbers, but also to your team. Because, I mean, I know your team are similarly impacted and affected. They do, that screen is meaningful to them. And I know, again, from how many people, particularly in my mastermind groups, the people that have implemented some kind of visible scoreboard in the office, and it doesn't have to be a TV screen with, you know, super tech Tommy dividing little bits of code. Although, by the way, doing that stuff, I don't mean to diminish Tommy's role, but it's a lot more straightforward than people realise, because the data exists somewhere. Ultimately, it just gets it and presents it in the right way. But a whiteboard can do the job just as well. And as a starting point, you know, a whiteboard in a visible place in your business, where, and it may be that it's only updated every half day or even at 5 o'clock every day, but it's better than the target being invisible. It's way better than the numbers being trapped on an Excel spreadsheet, because I have a pathological aversion to spreadsheets, because they sit in a computer and they're not, that they don't, you have to go looking for them to find out what's on them. Whereas when there's a board out there that you have to walk past multiple times a day, every time you go make a cup of tea or you go for a wee, you're seeing the board. And as long as the board's up to date, you can't avoid the board, you know how things are going. And when you and other people in your team know how things are going, you adjust how you play and you adjust what your focus is on and you get better results. And really that was the key point, wasn't it, around the targeting. As far as this broadcast is concerned today, Cameron, is again, I'm going to get simple things here, three simple things. Pricing, it's more elastic than you realise, and the scope to put your prices up if you think about it properly, and having a bit of a cogitation on that and a contemplation could be a really smart thing that will swiftly deliver significant profit growth to you. Shortening the time between your idea or decision to do something and actually doing it is a really smart way to accelerate your progress. And if everyone in your team knows what the scores are meant to be and indeed where they're at right now, then again that will have it can only have a positive impact. It won't fix things on its own, but by goodness me, it will make sure that you're in the best possible place to deliver the results that you've set out to get in. You know, now that does require you, of course, to have targets. One of the downsides to being your own boss is that you get to decide. It's good news, you're your own boss. Bad news, you're your own boss. There's no one holding your feet to the fire. But actually sitting down, coming up with, you know, where should you be? What are the key metrics? And again, on your board, just to be clear, you know, really, there's less than half a dozen things that we're tracking. You know, they're the kind of the key indicators. You know, we're tracking leads that are coming in, we're tracking our conversions, we're tracking the cash, we're tracking the number of new customers, because they're the big things. We get those right, everything else falls from it. What are the three or four big numbers in your business that will, if they're on track, give you a sufficient indication that actually things are okay and you're moving it to where you want to be? And getting those on a target board, can be on a whiteboard, but getting it visible in your place of work, really, really smart thing to do. And you know, we don't have to look any further for the best example of this, of course, than the Church of England, Cameron. We've all seen the big thermometers outside, you know, to rebuild the church roof, and the little thermometer keeps filling up. Fundamentally, that's just an iteration of exactly what you've talked about, just that they didn't have Super Tech Tommy on hand to make it happen for them. But that's right, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go. Simple, okay. Just get a thermometer.
Okay. All right, so that's price, speed, targeting. What's hot this month, Cam? What are you focusing on? What's getting you excited from a marketing perspective?
Well, it's all to do. I mean, Facebook ads continue to be the hot topic for us.
So many people have given up on Facebook ads. You know, so many smaller businesses in EC. You know, they've come in, they've had a go, they get some leads, and they've given up on them. What would you say?
Why? Why would you do this?
Well, typical lines we get, and you know, this is the quality of leads not sufficient, or I've got enough leads now, I just need to work them properly.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just talk around that for a moment in terms of, because that's very, it's rudimentary business thinking. It's very low level. It's not helpful business thinking, especially once you've got leads, you have to work them. And in that regard, you know, what we do with our leads once we've got them is actually at least as important as generating them in the first place, isn't it?
It is definitely. I mean. Anyone who's running marketing to generate leads without having a system in place to follow up with those leads as and when they come in,
yeah,
is just throwing money away. Because guess what? Your leads have a pretty harsh expiry date.
Yeah.
And it starts, you know, as soon as they come in.
They have a half-life, so they...
They do. They start to diminish in terms of, you know, your ability to convert them is at its highest as soon as it comes in, and it goes down and down and down. And so if you're generating leads and not following up with them and waiting until you've got a bunch and then starting, yeah, then that's crazy.
And certainly, yeah, with anyone running Facebook ads, having your follow-up process in place. And in terms of, you know, the number of steps and things that will go there, because the follow-up would be, you know, not just email, but Facebook Messenger, may involve a phone call, might involve a bonbon video, might involve sending something in the post. But looking through, if someone expresses interest in what you've got, you know, if they were the only lead you had this month, what would you do with them? And how to design then what would be a really world class, what would be the best follow up system in the world? If your life depended on the next lead that came in converting to become a customer, what would you do to that lead? Is a helpful thought process to, okay, well, what would I do? Let's at least find out what I would do if there was no constraints on it. Because then if we can understand what that is, we can then start to pull back and then look what's feasible and what can be doable. Some follow up, I know a lot of my inner circle members do their follow up in their 90 minutes. You know, that they, because it's a way that they are making their business are moving it closer to where they want it to be. So it's a valid use of 90 minutes in that regard. But having the follow up in place matters hugely. And the propensity of Facebook to generate leads is continuing, you know, unconstrained, Cameron, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is the single most powerful marketing channel out there right now.
Yeah.
For business owners, as long as you understand what
and
you're
that's,
doing.
And that's for B2B and B2C.
Yeah, of course. I mean, as a B2B business, it
yes.
is our number one lead source by far.
Yeah.
By far and away.
And our number one source of customers as well, just to be clear, because they do turn into customers. It's not all we do other things as well. But Facebook ads is, you know, it does apply to your business. There is a route for you to tap into. And again, just to be clear, and say it again, because this is not, we're not saying this lightly, it is the most...
Well, it's the single most powerful marketing channel available right now for business owners.
Yeah. And...
That there has ever been. When you think about it.
Yeah.
Because it's true, because it allows you to get your message in front of your target market, and you've got this absolute monster, this beast
yeah.
of an algorithm, this massive computer brain, that's sole purpose is to achieve whatever you tell it to achieve. And, you know, a lot of people don't quite grasp that. A lot of people get it wrong. And, it's why our Facebook ads proper implementation journey
yeah.
that me and Joanna are running at the moment is so popular and is making such an impact with the people on it, is because we're kind of sharing this insight.
Yeah, but doing so in a very useful way, because it is a proper implementation journey. If you haven't been through one of the proper implementation journeys yet, I would encourage you to do so, because we recognised last year, why we put these in place, is that just kind of teaching stuff is, whilst it's useful, isn't the best way to get the job done. And so these proper implementations are 7 or 8 week kind of programmes, during which, for the Facebook ads one, Cameron and Joe hold your hand whilst you implement it in your business. I guess it's a manifestation almost of the speed thing that we were talking about. And because you cover all elements of the Facebook ads in there, don't you?
Everything.
And if people haven't, this has happened and some of the sessions go out live, but if people are a bit late to the party on this, Cameron, and they're listening to this, obviously if they're unlimited pass holders, how can they get access to the proper implementation journey?
Well, they can log into the vault, the EC vault, vault.entrepreneurcircle.org, and go to the Pie Journey section. And it'll probably be in the current section.
Yeah.
You can see all the current Pie Journeys, the upcoming ones, and the past ones.
Yeah.
And it should be there in the current section.
And if it's not in the current one, it's because you're listening to this too late in May, and it's now moved to the past ones.
Now it's in the past one.
But it will
so
still
come
be...
to the past one, and you can register for the recording, so you can at least catch up and go through it if you want. And if not, it's running again later this year.
Okay. I think, Cameron, we're almost there, aren't we?
Podcast point of view and on this car.
How's that podcast been for you?
Oh, it's been great. My arm's still holding up.
You've
fine.
Done well there. So do you think then if the Japanese game show Endurance is kind of revived in the UK, are you likely to enter?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
It sounds a bit crazy.
Okay, and quick one before we go, psychology or marketing, which one's best?
Well, I think marketing, of course, but they actually go quite hand in hand, to be honest with you. There's a lot of, marketing's all about psychology, so highly recommend looking into that in more detail.
Profound stuff. Cameron, thank you for joining me in the Tesla for this very first Botcast on the road. I hope it's been helpful, guys, and useful to you. Drive safely wherever you're going. We'll see you back in June with a midsummer Botcast coming at you just a few weeks from now. So then, bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Botcast from the Entrepreneurs Circle, featuring Nigel Bottrell.